Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening and welcome to Watchman. And we continue with our study of end time events and how it is they affect the world that we live in, relating them, of course, with Bible prophecy. Now, a number of things are happening in the world right now, which are pointing the world towards what will eventually be a chaotic world where they will come and introduce the mark of the beast. Now, if you know the way these globalists think, they think about order out of chaos. When there is a certain order they don't want, they first destroy it and create chaos, and out of the chaos comes the order that they want. In other words, the sort of policies and everything that they want comes out of destruction. Now, that's happening in so many countries across the world right now. And there's a lot of chaos going on. The major among them, I think, is the United States, where universities are being flooded with pro-Palestinian protesters. And Jewish students cannot even go to class. They cannot go to their living places and so on, and it is very, very chaotic. They are sitting on lawns, on roads, and making it impossible for all business, any business, to continue the way it has been continuing. Now, that's a bit of what's happening there. But now, the reason it's important is because, number one, it is sponsored by George Soros.
Yes.
And even before I saw a story to that effect, I just knew it was him. Because what happens is, George Soros goes and sponsors district attorneys to stand for office, and the people who are supposed to be chief prosecutors. Then he goes and pays judges, or at least pays for them to be promoted to places. Mm. So now, when he wants people to commit crime and they are not charged in a way that will deter others, somehow they will, skirt over it. And
yes.
So now across America, in all the top universities in California, in New York, and everywhere, are in serious shambles as pro-Palestinian protesters are taking over. But now what this does is it creates a certain chaos that is going to demand a few things. Now, by the way, one of the things they want to demand is, they tried it with climate, but I don't think it took root. One of the things they wanted to demand is to have powers, the president to have powers, overreaching powers,
yes,
to suspend the constitution because of an emergency.
Yes.
And they were trying to say that there is a climate emergency, but nobody was buying into that.
Yes.
But now I think they see an opportunity for a real emergency.
Yes.
And that might be the only way they think they might stop Donald Trump from becoming president again, because his presidency would set them back so many years.
Yes.
So many years. So that is where currently it is right now, and it's real chaos in that country.
Yes.
Real chaos. And university students, first of all, have been pumped with a lot of Marxist ideology.
Yes.
They have been taught to hate their countries and, to rage against everything. What is called the neoliberalism, where people no longer feel that they are subject to any grouping. Okay, they stand as individuals.
Yes, alone.
Alone as individuals. So that is that's a bit of what's happening there. But it's happening in so many other places as
yes.
well. Yes. Across Europe, they are in serious, they have been experiencing what I call displacement migration.
Yes.
Because most of the major cities in Europe now are majority immigrants.
Very well.
For instance, cities like Amsterdam, cities like London, I think, is even 70%
yes.
immigrants. And that means that in the city of London, which is the capital of the UK, the number of indigenous British is a minority.
Yes, they become a minority.
In their own country.
Yes.
Now, this is what's happening elsewhere. That is
yes.
true for cities like Rotterdam, for Amsterdam, for yes. Brussels. Brussels, I think, is the worst. Brussels has the most number of immigrants. Now, while, of course, there are people who say, yeah, it's good for immigrants and so on, but nobody wants to be a minority in their own country.
No,
Where Ugandans are a minority in Uganda.
No.
Now, this so-called displacement migration has been going on for a while.
Yes.
But there are some countries which resisted it in Europe.
Yes.
Poland, Hungary, and Slovakia, I think.
Yes.
Completely refused it because they said that these people come mostly from Islamic countries.
Yes.
They don't come to assimilate. They come to take over.
To take over.
Yeah, and they come to take over. Now, it has become so bad that children in Germany are converting to Islam to fit in.
Because
they feel isolated as Christians. Now, they are converting to Islam to fit in in Germany.
Yes.
Now, this is a real takeover of, you know, of these territories.
Yes.
Now, the only country that had stayed with a bit of its conservatism was America.
Yes.
But even it is being invaded. And now this is all a plan of the New World Order.
Yes.
To make root people out of where they are. They are founded.
Yes.
And take them to another place so that nobody has a claim to anything.
Yes.
And then they will introduce what they call 15-minute cities.
Yes.
Where people are taken into small cities which are apparently self-sufficient.
Yes.
So you're not supposed to live there. You're not supposed to go within 15 minutes of that city.
Yes.
So you can't travel far.
Yes.
So basically you're in confinement. And now it's taking root in places, first of all, like Canada.
Yes.
Taking root, properly taking root in some other countries, Australia.
Yes.
And now seeing even Kenya. They have started doing that.
Very well.
Even Uganda, in the budget that is coming, there is some money for model villages where they are. Basically, they are going to take people to displaced people. You remember the IDPs?
Yes.
Internal displaced people's
camps? Yes.
Only this time there will be no war.
Yes.
It will just be stay there.
Yes.
We shall look after you from there.
Mm.
And basically, they take up all the land and all the resource-rich land and so on.
Yes.
And that's now a test of what the Antichrist really would want everybody to look like. And it's taking root all across the world. And it's very, very, very dangerous. Now, there are certain countries which have no freedom whatsoever.
Mm.
Where police come and knock on your door for something that you posted on social media.
Yes.
And these are countries which once called themselves free countries.
Free, yes.
Democratic and so on. Like the UK.
Mm.
Where in 1 year... for instance, 2017, like in excess of 3,000, about 3,400 people were imprisoned because of what they posted on social media. In one case, which was a real standout, there's this girl, a young girl, who went and, by young, I mean an adult, above 18, but still young, maybe like
19,
20, lost a friend of hers.
Yes.
And she posted in the 1 year anniversary of the friend's death, she posted the lyrics of the friend's favorite song.
Yes.
And the favorite song was a rap song. So it had the nigga thing, like all rap songs.
Yes.
Just the lyrics of the song.
Yes.
She was arrested, taken to court, and sentenced to 500 hours of community service, but also tagged with a tag on her foot and put on overnight confinement from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. She couldn't leave her house for a whole year.
Wow.
6 p.m. to 6 a.m. for just putting a rap song
on
Instagram.
Yes.
And the rap song had the word nigga. She don't even call anybody nigga.
Mm-mm.
So now this is how crazy it has become.
Yes.
In Australia, it is crazy. Like the government wants to take total control over what anybody sends or, you know, any form of information that goes out.
Yes.
They use words like misinformation and disinformation, but they are the biggest purveyors of those things.
Yes.
Remember what happened in COVID?
Yes.
When you were told COVID is such a serious sickness, people are dropping dead, lies. When you are told you need a vaccine, lies. People are sick because they took that vaccine.
Yes.
So now, the disinformation and misinformation is coming from official platforms, but they don't want anybody to contrast what they are saying with other sort of information.
Yes.
And the biggest platform that is now threatening their monopoly over information is Twitter, former Twitter or X.
Yes.
Because Elon Musk and his X have refused to sense anybody.
Yes.
You just put what you want.
Yes.
Now people are really, really angry about it.
Mm.
Extremely angry about it.
Yes.
So it's going to be a battle for information.
Yes.
You're going to see people struggling to even get books to read.
Mm.
And the internet will be full of information only that they want you to read.
Yes.
The kind that they want you to read, because they are trying to shape what you believe.
Yes.
And in America, they are banning TikTok.
Yes.
Think about that. They are banning TikTok. Why?
Yes.
That's because it's used by Chinese to spy on Americans. But the truth is,
no.
the biggest spying social media or even whatever internet companies,
Google,
Google, Facebook,
yes.
Instagram,
yes.
Those are the biggest spying. But somehow it is TikTok because I don't know.
Mm.
Okay, it's very popular.
Yes.
With so many million people using it. Young people especially.
Mm.
So, we are living in almost a dystopian world.
Yes.
And we have to understand that until the light of God comes and shines, which it is.
Yes.
Like people are trying, the forces of evil are trying so hard.
Yes.
To come and impose something very fast.
Yes.
Because now they thought at some stage that they had the benefit of time. We are going to do this, roll it out slowly.
Yes.
Start by 2030.
Yes.
All these things are in place. No, they are not waiting for 2030 any longer.
No.
They want to roll them out as soon as possible.
Yes.
That includes the pandemic treaty, which we talked about.
Yes. Mm. When you look at that system, which for them they call it order after chaos, one of the things they do is they put in what they call synthesis, then they add with antithesis, then it brings out the new thesis which they want. So all around the world, and actually the thing which has actually been is they had been a little bit slowed down, but they're actually not backing down. They're actually moving ahead to make sure that in every place, talking about Kenya actually, they have estates, gated estates. And those are places where people have everything almost there. You have a football pitch there for sports. You have
everything. Banks, watches,
banks, supermarkets. Oh,
yeah. But now that one was different because it was done for convenience, not through this new world order thing. But now there's something they are pushing, which is very, very... And by the way, those gated communities were mostly for affluent people.
Yes.
Now here what they're trying to do is to get a bit of the middle class, what is remaining of the middle class.
Yes.
Those who have not been crushed by overtaxation, which is also a fact of the New World Order.
Yes.
And actually, people are seeing it here in Uganda.
Yes.
Tax them to poverty.
Yes.
And it's not even as bad in Uganda as it is in other places.
No.
Where you completely taxed to poverty.
Yes.
Okay? But now Uganda has been talking about weird things where government takes 58%. Not even the worst taxed countries get to that level.
No.
No, they don't. They stop at 46, 50, 52. Now, 58% was going to be like really bad.
Yes.
Because that means you wake up in the morning and you go and work for government.
Yes.
Government takes more than you of your own income.
Yes.
Then now that's dangerous because what does it do? It creates, and this is what they want, it creates apathy towards working.
Yes.
People no longer want to go and work.
Yes.
Because the motivation is so little.
Yes.
You're working to pay taxes.
Yes.
And if you don't work, you become a dependent of government.
Yes.
And other people are working
and then
and paying taxes so that you somehow become a dependent.
Mm.
Now I'm seeing this system taking shape in Uganda. It's called something different.
Yes.
But I know where it is going.
Yes.
I know because I know how our leaders think.
Yes.
Because there's nothing they're doing which is new.
Yes.
They copy, the old communist things and so on. Mm. Which also these people, the same Marxist things.
Yes.
Which also these people are copying.
Yes.
Trying to move away from, capitalism, saying capitalism is very, inhumane and so on. Whatever reasons they have against it.
Mm.
Then they bring some kind of socialism.
Mm.
Then the next thing, real Marxism.
Yes.
And actually communism, that's where we're heading eventually. Because once it gets, encompasses everything, including the politics, then it becomes that.
Yes. And actually that's the new order which they want. Because for communism, actually, you don't own anything. Everything is owned by the government or the community, what they call it. So you are just subject to follow the system. And that's the thing which they were talking about, that by 2030 you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And right now what they're doing is they're moving towards that direction. And there were certain things which they had to remove, because those things were mark stones which people can never live without them. So they actually looked for a way to make sure that people get out of that strong attachments. Things like religion or faith. They made in Europe, that's the best example. Because in Europe, one of the things they wanted to first take away is religion or people having faith in God or any other faith. And then they now introduce, they first of all kind of started by spoiling it, making them first of the indigenous people who had real faith in God and they were like born again, even they first had to just make them become sort of religious in form of being fiery, like having the light of the Spirit of God and all that. Then it went on and on, where now they started bringing in other forms of New Age religion, which is to replace the one which were the indigenous ones. Then afterwards, because there was a time I was studying about religions in Europe, and you find that people, the youngest people right now, the oldest people are the ones which have some form of faith. When you descend down and down to the youth, you find that most of them are actually atheists, or they don't have any form of religion, or they like
actually,
even
now it moved away from atheists to satanists.
Yes.
Now they're actually actively practicing satanic religions.
Yes.
Where they are trying to, you know, get into the spirit using satanism.
Yes.
So it has gone full circle, really.
Yes.
And that I think that was to now you are saying the pillars they want to remove. One of them is faith.
One of them is faith. Then the other one, which is which was actually so key, is actually education. Because in education, that's a form where people actually get to now be nurtured. And previously, education backgrounds came from actually religion, actually. Like faith, where people, at least they had some form of religion. And I even remember some story when you taught us about how in those days in Russia, is it Russia? Okay, Russia, yes.
Yes, Soviet Union.
Yes. When actually they say, they call all children and they tell them that pray to God to give you lunch. And then children starts to pray to God and they pray to God and then there's nothing. Then they say pray to Lenin now. So they now start praying to Lenin and immediately they bring in the lunch. So that shifts the mind of people from looking at God, but that was done in schools.
So young
children now start to think that now there is actually no God, but it takes away God from schools, from education. And that actually made them a lot more, because when they take God out of education system, then of course that makes children to start looking to other sources. That's the time when now they actually begin to bring in these curriculums, which totally, it's out of God. It doesn't have God. It doesn't even take away your the love for your country, like what you were talking about, like patriotism. It's taken away, because once you are not now attached to your country, education is taken away and is spoiled rubbishly. Then your love for the country is also taken away. So you are willing to go anywhere. You are willing to be ferried to another country.
And you have no attachments.
Yes.
They first took away the attachment of family.
Yes.
Very, very important.
Yes.
Now they take away the attachment of country.
Yes.
Because you see people have attachments to their countries.
Yes.
I say I'm a Ugandan. And they feel when there's a love for the country.
Yes, an attachment.
Yeah. In there. Then they take that away.
Yes.
Then eventually, after they have cut, you know, basically cut everything off you, you remain an individual.
Yes.
Without associating with any group.
Yes.
And then now you become very easy to shoot down.
Yes.
Because they can take you anywhere they want. Mm. Because eventually you will start clamoring, looking for something to belong to.
Yes.
And then they will provide for you.
Yes.
Okay? Uh-huh. And we saw that in the writings of that man. What was he called? The man who said that, you know?
Albert Pike.
Albert Pike.
Yes.
Who said that, you know, when the world, we take our religion,
yes,
use communism, take yes, our religion.
Yes.
And then when religion has gone away,
yes,
then, you know, people will be yearning for yes, something to worship. Then that's when we shall bring in Luciferian worship.
Yes.
That was the vision. The man wrote the book in 1890.
Yes.
91, actually. 1891. And that is the plan. That has been the plan all along. But we know that a number of things
yes,
will not happen, first of all, because we know from prophecies in the Bible and prophecies elsewhere
yes,
what God is doing. And God's purpose will always stand.
Yes.
But sometimes we tell you what the purpose of the world is so that you understand. It helps you put in perspective some of the things that you see happening in the world.
Yes.
But otherwise, don't be scared of them.
Yes.
Don't feel as if it's inevitable. Mm. We are moving in that direction. It is not inevitable. Mm. Mm. We are not definitely moving in that direction. We are actually moving in the direction of God.
Yes.
But as we said last time, some countries will choose to go down that direction.
Yes.
And they are already being seen right yes, now. Mm. Because they have been dulled and poor. Go and maybe make some complaints on Twitter or X and so on. But you see they are going down. Now Australia is one of them. Canada is another. The UK yes, is another one. Now, for instance, the UK here, they went and sanctioned the Speaker of Parliament in Uganda that apparently for stealing Mabati. Mm. And that is very comical. It's absolutely comical because she has never been charged with stealing Mabati.
Yes.
For you to sanction somebody, that person has to have been charged in a, yes, in a court of law and found guilty
yes,
of that offense. She has not even been charged, much less being found guilty. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying she didn't steal the Mabati. Mm. What I'm saying, she hasn't been charged and she hasn't yes, been found guilty. Yes. So you cannot use that as a pretext
yes,
to sanction her. And so they sanctioned her, the UK. And of course, it's about the anti-homosexuality bill.
Yes.
But they will not say that because yes, they know that homosexuality is...
too loud.
Is not popular in Uganda.
Yes.
So they would rather go to something else. Mm. And I see even their propagandists, especially on social media, trying to tie corruption to homosexuality, saying that people are, instead of focusing on major things like corruption, you're focusing on homosexuality. These are two different things. Corruption does not stop the propagation of the human race.
Yes.
Homosexuality does.
Yes.
Now, but in any case,
yes,
even if corruption is bad, but they are separate, but they're trying to tie them together.
Yes.
And it's their propaganda, whatever thing. And I'm seeing it all over, making it look like it's only corrupt,
yes,
rich people who are against homosexuality. False.
No.
In excess of 70 something percent of the MPs
yes,
voted in favor of that anti-homosexuality bill. Mm. So if we take it as they were representatives of people, that means that a very big majority of Ugandans
yes,
are against it. Mm. And now that's the other thing which I also find interesting, because there was a time when people were telling us democracy.
Yes.
And democracy was the rule of the majority. Mm. But now they are no longer interested in democracy.
No.
They want a minority
yes,
to come and dictate terms. Yeah, for us, we are LGB, whatever, A, B, C, D, up to Z.
Yes.
And somehow, they are a very small minority, less than 2%, but they want to be the ones dictating everything. Now, that's no longer democracy.
No.
That is another kind of, I don't know what to call it.
Yes.
I think I'll call it the new liberalism,
yes,
where the minority rule over the majority.
Over the majority.
That's the end of democracy. Anyway, so I'm moving away from that. I just wanted to give you a brief of what's happening elsewhere. Now, let's look at what's happening in Israel, because they have been shedding Hezbollah
yes,
seriously.
Yes.
And I think Hezbollah is in serious trouble right now. Mm. Iran is not going to be coming anytime soon because they were humbled a bit last time. Mm. So they are not going to come to their rescue. But then also, Israel has been targeting all the commanders.
Yes.
They have been going for personnel,
yes,
people. Mm. Previously, they were going for weapons manufacturing factories. and as well as shooting down weapons which had already been manufactured, yes, and were being transported to dangerous places.
Yes.
But now they are going for personnel. They are going for human. Yes. So now they have killed a lot of the commanders of Hezbollah, and the offensive in Gaza, the southern part of Gaza, is about to start in earnest. Yes. Right now they are spending a lot of time transporting, transporting civilians away from that place to the northern part before they go and finish all the, you know,
the battalions of
the
Hamas.
Battalions of Hamas.
Yes.
But Hamas are also clever, because recently they released a video of a young man who is a hostage.
Yes.
Because you see, the presumption even among relatives in Israel was that all the hostages who were taken were dead.
Yes.
So they released the video of one of them who apparently is still alive. Now, why are they doing that? They are doing that because they want pressure in Israel. Because you see, when people are crying out for their loved ones, so now the demonstrations in Israel, Netanyahu should go, bring back our people, and so on. And they stop that sentiment and make it very difficult for Israel to actually go inside. And because they saw that the pressure from without was not stopping Israel. Everybody was talking, Russia, Turkey, even the United States, telling them don't. But Israel was saying, we are going to. And nobody's going to stop us. So the only people who can stop Israel from actually going and destroying the remaining of Hamas are in Israel. And that's what these people are trying to stop. But I don't know if it will work, because there have been all these demonstrations coming up. And
And that thing which you're speaking about, like, there is something which is happening between, because what is on the table in that war is the deal, the ceasefire deal. But Hamas, of course, does not want Israel to go and attack and finish them in Rafah, because that's where they are remaining, the four battalions remaining. That's where they are staged. So they are trying to buy time in actually taking out. That's why they are the ones who actually made sure that the negotiations fail. Even, of course, recently, now that it has been failing for almost the recent weeks, this very week they sent some delegations in Cairo, Egypt, to go and do that, to go and talk with. Of course, it's now being mediated by Egypt. Now, Netanyahu says that we are not going to send our delegations in that, because his focus right now is to make sure they go, because they go and finish. Yes. And actually made a very big statement that even if there is no deal or there is deal, we are going to go. So that's what he actually said, that even if there is a deal or there is no deal, we have to go and finish the work. That's what he said. And finish Hamas so that we know our people are secure. So, but what has been happening with the help, of course, even with that, which the attack which happened in with Iran, kind of made sure that it slows down Israel a bit in their attack, because they were actually headed there. And then, of course, they were also approaching this season of the Passover. And that's why they said, now we are going to, after Passover, which, of course, they have ended it on Sunday. He said, now afterward, that's when we will go. So immediately on Monday, when they finished, that's when they started preparations to make sure they go. And like you said, they are now making sure they take and ferry all these civilians away so that they can launch in. And Netanyahu says, even if there is a deal or there is no deal, we are going to go in that place. And that is one thing I'm seeing, which we are going to wait to see how it plays out very well.
And it's just not working for Iran right now, because Israel seems to be determined to go ahead with it. But anyway, let's wait and see what happens there. In the meantime, Israel has been shedding Hezbollah. They have been shedding some Iranian whatever's in countries like Syria, especially Syria and Iraq. So Israel is determined that its enemies are not going to have the same firepower to attack it again. And now these people have gone to universities, in Ivy League universities and so on. But that's not going to deter Israel whatsoever. So let's move away from that. And what else is happening?
Of course, now we have the US, and the banks have actually started failing again. because, you know, last year the Silicon Valley Bank collapsed, and that caused actually a lot of shaking in the financial system of America. Now, we know right now that US and Russia, they're in some sort of economic war, because in last week, even Russia filed a court and actually won that and took away $400 million from JP Morgan. Yes, million, from JP Morgan. Mm. And that made sure there's been that ongoing war because, of course, also with the Ukraine war.
No, because the reality is this. The West confiscated Russia's things.
Yes.
And actually, everything that was associated with Russia.
Yes.
Every investment in the West.
Yes.
Even those which were not Russian investments, which were personal investments by Russian people, were taken away.
Yes.
For instance, the one which everybody would know, Chelsea Football Club.
Yes.
Which was bought by Roman Abramovich, invested in excess of $2 billion, £2 billion, and they just took it.
Yes.
And Russia somehow left the West own their investments in Russia, in spite of all that.
Yes.
But now they are clear, paved the way for them to take several billion dollars worth of Western investments in Russia. So now I think there is no way back in all this.
Yes.
It's a clear. Divide between Russia and the West.
Mm.
And the reason there is that divide has nothing to do with Ukraine. Ukraine is just being used as a pawn. The reason is that there is that divide is because Russia has refused to join the globalist cabal.
Yes.
And to provide some sort of safe ground for all the people who do not join the globalist cabal.
Yes.
Is trying to imprison everybody, those you know, those World Economic Forum people and all that.
Mm.
So now Russia is the biggest enemy.
Yes.
Previously, they said the biggest enemy to a one world government and a new world order is the strength of America.
Yes.
America has been beaten down properly.
Yes.
Now it might no longer be the single biggest factor standing in the way of a new world order.
Yes.
It might be Russia.
Yes.
And that's why you see Russia is the pariah. They don't like Russia. They don't like Russia. They are demonizing Russia and so on. And that's the reason.
Yes.
And that's the reason why sometimes you don't believe all the things. Because you see there are so many Ugandans who will go and listen to these international news channels and just believe gobble in everything
with
that
what,
they give.
Yes. Mm.
And they are just doing propaganda, absolute propaganda.
Mm.
There's that journalist, Kota Karkalson, who said that he knows that there are some journalists whose work is just to read what the intelligence agencies give them.
Mm.
The CIA, the FBI, which are trying to shape people's opinions.
Mm.
Even Hollywood scripts have to go through CIA before they are approved and so on. Like everything is just, there's nothing real as you see it.
Mm.
So somebody comes and starts reading a news script and it's a lie.
Yes,
through and through, and they know it's a lie.
Mm.
But they will read it anyway because it has been given to them by CIA. So there's a lot of... But the battle for information is going to be real.
Yes.
Who do you get your information from?
Yes.
If you get it from certain sources, then you are definitely going to be deceived.
Yes. Mm. So, like I said, it has been reported here. I'm reading from CBS News. It says, Republic First Bank closes. Mm. First FDIC insured bank to fail in 2024.
Mm.
So, of course, now this FDIC, it's just to make sure that banks are insured, and of course, when they fail, they can cover them.
Mm.
Now, this is the first bank to fail this year. And there's been that speculation that failures of bank from last year would increase, but somehow they didn't because maybe it wasn't time. But right now, it has actually started with this bank, the failure of this bank. And this is stabilizing America's finance and all the banking system. Because it has actually been reported that there's been a decline in depositors taking their money into the bank. And that's where the globalists want it. Because they want people to now... not trust the system which was there. So that when that happens, they can now introduce their own system, which the people now will subscribe to. And they'll call it secure, they'll call it, they'll guarantee
First of all, because people are scared of banks.
Yes.
Because there has been talk that there's going to be a cyber.
Yes.
One big cyber failure.
Yes.
And all information in banks, depositors' information and so on will be lost.
Yes.
So everybody will end up with zero money as far as the banks are concerned because all the records will be lost. That talk has been ongoing.
Yes.
So people are a bit wary of that. Secondly, the banks track too much people's purchasing.
Yes.
And there's a lot of tracking of what you purchase when you withdraw and so on.
Yes.
And that is banks across the world.
Yes.
Okay. And all sorts of monetary systems. Now, here in Uganda, for instance, that law that requires, that is, they're trying to introduce that requires you to use a national ID before you make a transaction of 1 million on mobile money, is a way of, and this appetite, this financial appetite has been happening in the banks.
Yes.
Where some people have billions and billions of shillings, but somebody goes and deposits 10 million shillings and they close his account.
Mm.
Where did you get the money from?
Yes.
What are you going to use it for? But people are in the same bank are using it, where you have to prove something. You have to prove that I got the money from here and what and what.
Yes.
And they call it anti-money laundering law. But it's actually financial appetite.
Yes.
Some people are supposed to have money, others are not supposed to have money. And that's what they are. That's how they see it. And it's also taking root here, very, very seriously in this country.
Yes.
And all these things that you see is about control of the human being.
Yes.
Now, these banks you see, so many other banks will fail and they will be taken up by a government, almost nationalized.
Yes.
So government will nationalize people's deposits.
Yes.
And that is a lot because remember when we talked about central bank digital currency.
Yes.
Where you actually have a digital currency, not a currency of actual money.
Money, yes. An electronic money now.
Now electronic money.
Yes.
And now that electronic money, they can decide where you use it and how you use it.
Yes.
And they can decide if you are using too much and they stop it.
Yes.
So the bank has the ability to stop and say, this week you've spent too much money.
Yes, you've reached your limit.
You've reached your limit.
Yes.
No more spending. Even if it's your money.
Yes.
And they can determine that you are not supposed to. If they say, for instance, like, and these are things which they have in plan.
Yes.
If they say, for instance, there's a lockdown.
Yes.
And you're not supposed to move within 30 minutes of your circumference. When you move 30 minutes, if you run out of fuel and go and use your card and you are out of that circumference, your card will not be able to work.
Yes.
Yeah, because it only works within the circumference. So they have a control over everything, your purchase. So you can't leave.
Yes.
Because once you leave, you have no money.
Mm.
Your money only is valuable when you are within that circumference that they have set for you.
Yes.
Then they will continue narrowing that circumference.
Yes.
Just like, I want you to know that if the devil was to have his way, thankfully he's not going
to.
Yes. But if he was to have his way, the lockdowns that we had in 2020 and 2021 will look like Sunday school in comparison. These ones will be real bondage.
Yes.
Bondage, absolute bondage.
Yes. Where almost you don't have anything. Not controlled.
Yes.
Everything you have is controlled. Your money is controlled. The food you eat is controlled. The life you live is everything is controlled. Health is where you go for your maybe in hospital is controlled. Everything is almost controlled. That's actually the agenda of the enemy. But of course, that's the agenda of the enemy. There's the plan of God, like the way you said. We are moving not in the direction of the plan of the enemy, but we are moving in the direction of God.
The reason people get confused is because the things of God creep in from under.
Yes.
And just when it seems like the enemy has a lot of power and seems to be taking control,
yes.
Actually, beneath the system of God is taking control.
Mm.
Now, when it crushes the system of the enemy, people look for it.
Mm.
And they can't find it.
Yes.
Because at some stage it looked very powerful, then the next minute it's not there.
Yes.
So tell us about what God is doing.
Actually, you spoke of that scripture.
Mm.
And you spoke of that when the system of the Antichrist comes in, has established itself, then the system of God comes in and crushes it.
Mm.
It is like what God told Daniel. And I believe this, let me read it from Daniel.
Chapter 2.
Yes.
That is verse 43, I believe. That is the God of heaven who set up a kingdom.
Yes.
That is Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Read it for us.
43. Okay, let me start from 42. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with ceramic clay. But and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Exactly. This is what the Lord does. Mm-hmm. When the system of the Antichrist has established itself and has come strong, and this is actually the vision of Daniel, is he sees this statue, head of gold, chest of silver, chest and arms of silver, then belly and thighs of bronze, and then, of course, the feet. Now, when at the feet of it, that's when it has fully established itself. And when the Antichrist rises up and takes over and does all this and establishes itself and his system, what happens is from the feet. That's why it says, and in the days of these kings, when these kings has established themselves and they are strong and they are ruling and reigning, then he says, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the other people. It shall break in pieces and consume these kingdoms. Mm. So God sets up, and that's why we were in this end time church. It's, as well, this scripture speaks of us, the end time church, that we were here in this end time era, where all the while from long time, the enemy has been plotting, has been establishing, has been building, has been doing all his system, all the, like, a lot. Now, we are the ones who are there, whom God is going to establish us to consume all these other kingdoms, all these other establishments of which the enemy had set up.
Yeah, that sounds very good. That sounds encouraging, and maybe perhaps the encouragement that people needed. But it is happening.
Yes.
It is happening everywhere.
Mm.
It is happening.
Yes.
And it might not look like it, especially in certain places.
Yes.
But it is happening.
Mm.
And when it happens, that's when that scripture in Isaiah chapter 2 will come to pass. It shall come to pass that in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted.
Yes.
Above every other mountain.
Yes.
And it also says that the people will flock to it and say, come and let us go to the what? To the mountain of the Lord's house.
Yes. To the house of Jacob.
To the house of Jacob, because they are the ones who have solutions.
Yes.
Paraphrasing now.
Yes.
And now that's when people understand that there has to be God in the equation.
Yes.
Because they have believed in themselves, they have believed in secularism, but it is taking them down a very, very dangerous path.
Yes.
And they will get to a place where they will have to cry out to God.
Yes.
Because he will be the only one who they can cry out to.
Yes.
And they will realize that this is not this is no joke.
Yes.
And then there is that, it also says that, sure as I live, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God.
Yes.
That's in Habakkuk.
Yes.
I think 4:14.
Yes.
The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Now, for that to happen, people have got to have tasted what it is like to be without God. Then, when he shows up, they will be ready to receive him.
Yes. Now, the thing is, when people look at all this and what is going on and what we have been, some of the plans, the plan of control of the agenda of the devil and all these things, and then also we give them the real side of God and the input which God has for us and the promise which God has for us as the end time church, sometimes they are caught in between. And that's why it requires faith. Like, it requires people to actually believe that this is what will be there. God tells you that, even like what we have read in the scripture, like the system of the Antichrist will come and wants to take root, and actually will take root. But out of that, there will come the system of God, and God will use us, the end time church. So it actually requires us to believe in this, that God has shown us this will happen, and it's happening. And then God has said that also this one will happen, the good part of it, it will happen. And that's why it requires faith for us to believe that we are actually the ones which God is speaking about, that we are called for that.
And I want you to relate with some of the things. I want anyone listening here to relate with some of the time periods in the scripture when people were going through hard times and looks like there is no way out. For instance, think about Daniel, and the whole book, by the way, is just about end time. Think about Daniel, where you are, I want you to imagine this, you are Daniel, you are captive from Judah, and you are taken to the king's palace because apparently you're intelligent and you have some knowledge, superior knowledge. You've been tested among the captives and been found to be extraordinary.
Yes.
So they take you to the king's palace. But because your knowledge is prophetic, they put you among the magicians, the soothsayers, you know, and
astrologers.
Astrologers and all those clairvoyants. And so you're among, you know, people who are practicing a different the magic arts. And you're, as far as the king is concerned, you're all the same. You see, eh? Now, then it's up to God. It's actually God who separates you by giving the king a dream and the others cannot.
Yes.
Then you're the only one who can do it.
Yes.
Then now you separate yourself. But now you're growing in influence.
Yes.
In a heathen kingdom.
Yes.
Which is opposed to your God. Okay. Which apparently has their God. But you're there and you've planted your roots there and you're actually growing in influence there, right there, amidst them. And then when you move on to chapter 6.
Yes.
Eh? The people whom you work with, the mother magicians and all that, they realize that the only way they can stop you is by saying you don't pray to your God.
Yes.
Then they do that. Then God rescues you.
Yes.
Before that, of course, they want you to, everybody, this is the state religion.
Yes.
Bow down and worship this image.
Yes.
And Daniel's friends refuse. That's chapter 4, 3 and 4. They refuse. So now I want you to see that slowly, Daniel turned that empire on its head. And by the time Darius was king, long into Darius's reign, and then Cyrus was also king. Darius was king of the Medes, and Cyrus the king of Persia. Daniel had gained a lot of influence that Darius was even boasting about him. And then he even took him and introduced him, the emperor Darius. Took Daniel and introduced him to the King Cyrus and told him, here is he told him that about how there's a prophecy about him in the Jewish prophecies, mentioning him by name.
Yes.
And when Cyrus saw the prophecy is in Isaiah 45.
Yes.
And when Cyrus saw the prophecy calling him by name,
yes,
he was so astounded by it.
Yes.
And actually, he's the one who ordered that all the Jews should go and rebuild the temple and rebuild their city in Jerusalem. Yes. Because he was shaken. Now, that starts from a captive of Judah.
Yes.
Who comes into a hostile empire.
Yes.
And then takes over.
Yes.
And eventually, two emperors are seated with him discussing, and he's determining, you know, basically their direction.
Yes.
Two powerful heathen empires. Darius the Mede and Cyrus.
Yes.
The king of Persia.
Yes.
So now this, what we're talking about here is exactly what is going to happen now.
Yes.
As it was in the days of Daniel.
Yes.
So it is going to be in our days.
Yes.
Where you think that evil has taken over.
Yes.
And evil is so strong, apparently, that it even has entered the church.
Yes.
And even church people are being, you know, doing weird things. Yes. And now even you look at people who are supposed to be church people and you're wondering what's wrong with them because they are doing weird things, very, very weird things. And they don't seem to know which kingdom they belong to.
Yes.
Or even that there are two kingdoms which are opposed to each other and one is going to have to take over the other. So people kind of get discouraged. But then somewhere along the way, it starts happening. Mm. And it starts happening because some people will keep the faith.
Yes.
Some people will say, no, we believe what the scripture says. We believe what the prophecies say.
Yes.
At the end, the people of God end up on top. Mm. That scripture you read in Daniel chapter 2,
yes,
which says that the God of heaven will establish a kingdom.
Yes.
And it shall wipe away, it shall consume
all
the other kingdoms. Mm. Now you actually have to stand and believe that, even amidst all manner of contradiction, everything that is pointing in the opposite direction, you stand up and say, no, but the scripture says the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom which will consume. Mm. And then in your standing like that, there shall it start happening. Mm. And before long, you actually realize that it starts taking root.
Slowly.
Taking root. Mm. And the next thing, you look for the kingdom of darkness. And everyone who was in the kingdom of darkness is now hiding underground.
Yes.
They're even ashamed of the devil, their master.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what it says. That's exactly what is going to happen.
Yes. Mm. It's actually exactly like what the scripture says, that for Lot, of course, the scripture says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, like in this end time.
Mm.
So Lot dwelt among his evil people, and his soul was vexed every single day. So that is what was then. But when you compare it, like even the days like lockdown days, where each and every single day your soul would be vexed and by the things you see, the kind of darkness. But of course, there's been prophecies that will come out on top. Will come out on top when all this darkness has come. I remember the message when you spoke about that we are in Goshen. Mm. That was in 2020. Mm. That, and you told us that was actually the beginning of the hot lockdown. Mm. And you told us that we are going to come on top. Mm. We are going to come on top. Mm. All this will be swallowed up and taken away. Mm. So now, when we are going through the days, it looked like there is actually no future, no nothing, because each and every single day wakes up the same and closes the same, in the same gloominess. Now, the thing is, if, of course, some of us wouldn't have like been seeing the prophecy which you had given, like that there is light, there was not going to be any other us coming out on top afterwards. And afterwards, it was actually wrapped out, and now
people have even forgotten that there was a time you couldn't leave home, and there were all these what are they called, crime preventers, LDUs, moving, moving across town,
everywhere,
criminalizing simple things like people like just sitting outside taking some coffee or what, like and now it has, it has gone out of people's memory.
Yes.
Because the light came and took over. Of course, there is a lot of darkness prepared, but I mean planned, but there is also a lot of light planned by God. And the light will prevail at the end until the rapture.
Yes.
Then after the rapture, that's when maybe darkness can take over.
Yes. Mm. So the thing is, believers, people who are called who are here in this end time, we are called to see the light alone and not look at darkness and not look at the things which actually are trying to come around and wants to take us out and wants to make, because once you focus there, it grows more and more in your soul and you become vexed. But once you focus more and more on the kingdom of God and the promises of God and the prophecies which God has laid out for us as the end time church, you'll begin to see a direction, see a light shine into your path, and you begin taking those steps of faith to actually move. And then afterwards, you'll realize that there is actually no darkness. And that's why the angels were singing and says that the whole earth are full of his glory. Because for them, they were actually seeing the earth from their standpoint of how God sees the earth. Now, if you, as a child of God, you are looking at all these things and you're making it become your point of focus, you are going to see the earth from that point where you're seeing it. So, and you'll see darkness, you'll see the enemy, you'll see all these challenges, and eventually you'll start manifesting those limitations, those darkness. But once you focus yourself in the things of God, the promises of God, the end time promises of God, the dominion agenda of God, which God has for us in this end time, the strength and the authority which we are supposed to wield, how we are supposed to roll back all this darkness and all this globalist system. You will actually eventually begin to roll out this system. God will actually begin to show you the how, the solutions, and you'll actually get to move into the realities.
Okay, I think we've run out of time. And just to remind you, every Friday we do have fellowship here in a place, that place called, it's I think in Zambia, Kabalagala, really, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. Please come and we teach you how to become an end-time believer. And we gather every Friday starting at 6 p.m. So if you can, if you're in Kampala, please make sure that you come. And this Friday we have a Holy Communion service, which is going to be very important because I want covenants to be renewed in certain areas. And there's going to be healing of so many things, not just bodily healing. Mm. So please make it a point to come this Friday and share with us our Holy Communion service. In the meantime, I think I will just say, have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Realm, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 290 555, or +256 755 290 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministry, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.